terms of psyche going into a bye week, this is a big one.
Buccaneers fans, Ira Kaufman is in the house. He's the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm beer. Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. And Sage, we might have to switch you to the all-electric 2023 Ford Mustang Mach-E. Lease yours today for $399 a month from Bill Curry Ford. So many great offers at BillCurryFord.com. Sean Sullivan, he's up the ante, Ira, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford. Now it's $2,000. $2,000 is what he will give you cash if he can't beat an offer from another Ford dealership. So it is getting serious, and you can get all the details at BillCurryFord.com. You can still get a $500 gift card just for ordering a brand new vehicle. Use their concierge service online. No deposit. It's very easy. And the Ira Kaufman discount is always in effect. BillCurryFord.com. Great weekend to go shopping. It's the end of the month. Many of these offers expire at the end of the month, so hustle it up, shop online today, and you could be driving by Saturday, Sage. How about that? And Florida's Elite Restoration, serious business there. You need to call them first, immediately, anytime you have a disaster at your property, flood damage, mold, fire, storm damage, whatever it might be. Call them 24/7. They'll give you a free evaluation at your property, absolutely free. They've got a Sage Ira Kaufman discount, Joe Bucks fan discount as well. When you call them, tell them where you heard about them right here on the podcast. And then after you get your free evaluation, if you need their services, if you move forward with a service agreement to restore your property, they'll give you that $500. Maybe it's cash, or maybe it is just money you use for your deductible. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Check them out today so you're prepared when that disaster strikes. And Sage, we will be Big Storm Brewery, Ybor City, upstairs, Centro Ybor, watching the Bucks and the Saints. We want to invite all the fans out. Great beer, great spirits, great specials there at JoeBucksFan.com for Sunday. You can see him there. Ira's there. He's going to be I hear you're going to be buying a few beers, Ira, so that's exciting, and we're going to have a good time. Huge game for the Buccaneers, Ira, huge game. BigStormBrewery.com, that's a great place to check out the whole menu and all the other Big Storm tap rooms and look at the beers that you can enjoy on Sunday. And, of course, you can load up at Big Storm on Big Storm Beer, wherever you find great craft beer. So we've got an exciting podcast, Ira. What a game it was or wasn't on Monday night. How are you, Ira?
I'm doing well, Steve. I don't think any of us were surprised at the way the game went. We shouldn't have been surprised. The Eagles are the better team. The rosters are not comparable. I'm sorry, they're not. The Bucs have some good players. The Eagles have more, especially up front where it counts. And really, for any Buc fan who kind of says to themselves, well, if Mike Evans holds on to a couple of those balls in the first half, you know, catchable balls, Mayfield laid it up there for him. This is a different ball game. That's a bunch of nonsense. The Eagles, Lee, were up 25-3 in the fourth quarter and weren't very good in the red zone. You know, and that's the one thing the Eagles didn't take care of. Bucks get a little credit for that. But at the end of the day, so what? So they lost to a better team. So they lost to a team that's going to win 13 games. So they lost to a team that's probably going to be in the NFC championship game. And if it's against the 49ers, what a matchup that'll be. That could be spectacular. Those two defenses going at it. No big deal. Now, look, you want to win the game, Lee. You want to be 3-0. But it wasn't going to happen. I mean, you got to play the Eagles. You're going to lose. Unless Philly comes in sloppy, flat, and you're on your A game. And neither of those two things happen. Bowles said it very well on Monday. If we go to New Orleans and go and win that game, and we're 3-1 at the bye week, nobody's complaining about the Eagle game, and that's true. Lee, they got a real chance in New Orleans. I know they're slight underdogs, but Lee, on their best day, they're gonna have trouble beating the Eagles.
For sure. I don't think it's that crazy to say, you know, two plays and the Bucks that have a puncher's chance. Evans catches that touchdown, and Devin White doesn't have a bum groin. That would have been a pick six when he intercepted that pass. That would have been a pick six, but you could tell he was playing basically on one leg. I mean, he gave up on it. But to your point, you know, you could say that about every game. Well, if this would have happened and that would have happened, that, you know, you drive yourself crazy. I just think a couple of, at least what I thought, and I'm to the point where I'm tired of talking about it, but, you know, I thought the major weakness of this team was running backs. Well, that sure stuck out like a sore thumb Monday night. Just ironically, this happened to me when I was driving home from the game, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was listening to Michael Lombardi's podcast, and he's got a co-host that's always making excuses for Justin Fields. And we know the Jets are always making excuses for Zach Wilson. And Michael Lombardi said something I thought was perfect, and I applied it to Rashad White. Good players don't need excuses.
No question about it.
Well, they had this coordinator. They called this play. Or they had excuses. He's not the guy. And like Michael Lombardi said about Justin Fields, I'm tired of talking about
it. I want to drill down on this running game. It's a big problem. And God bless Canales, he keeps trying. Steve, Leftwich didn't have any patience, and I didn't have blame him, Steve, because you're hitting your head against the wall like Lee said all last year. Why would you try something that's not working? Canales is not that easily thwarted. He's committed to this thing. Steve, everybody's looking at White, and look, I'm the first guy that says White doesn't show much of a wiggle. He just doesn't. I don't see him making the first guy miss. I don't see it. Tucker's not showing anything. Vaughn, they've given up on. But Steve, at some point, Steve, this has been going on 2-3 years now. You got to look at the guys up front too. I mean, they're not innocent little babes here. There's no running lanes now.
There are running lanes, Ira. He's not making good decisions. He's leaving yards on the field. That's really what Todd Bowles said today. Without saying that, this is the second time in 3 games where the coaches have come out afterwards and says, you know, he's got to take what the defense is giving him. He can't be looking for the big play. He's got to hit the hole hard. I mean, it's there. There's a lot more yardage there. It's a legendary running game is not there, but a much better running game is there.
Ira, the way the press box in Minnesota is, we're sort of in the corner of the end zone, kind of like what we have at Raymond James, only it's closer to the end line than it is the corner. I'm not saying there were running lanes all game long, but there were running games that any running back with decent vision would have exposed that. And Rashad White seems to think he's Le'Veon Bell. The problem is he doesn't have the talent that Le'Veon Bell had.
You know, an obvious question, Steve. They had the whole offseason to work on Rashad White, his technique, his vision, setting up your blockers better, and there's been no improvement, Steve. Why is that?
Look, there's an evaluation issue at One Buck Place when it comes to running backs. That's what we're looking at. You can blame whoever you want, but the general manager went public this offseason saying, damn it, where's Keyshawn Vaughn? He should get more carries. The guy is buried. So something's off there. I don't know who's off, but somebody's off. Rashad White being hailed as this and that, and Bruce Arians and Tom Moore talking about how he's the next Edgerrin James. And then they bring in Sean Tucker. He's the guy until the lights come on. And he's not the guy as an undrafted free agent. And, you know, heart issue aside, we don't know what that was, if that really stopped his training or whatever it was. They deemed him ready to play this season. Chase Edmonds got hurt. He's not here. You know, that happens. But there's a problem there. And I don't know if it's going to get fixed this year.
Lee, I'm not convinced, and I know you two guys are trying to make a strong argument to the contrary, but I don't think this is a good run-blocking offensive line. Last year, it was not a good run-blocking offensive line, and my Exhibit A for that, Lee, is Leonard Fournette didn't look any better than Rashad White did. So now you got two guys who can't crack 3.5 yards a carry. So to me, the problems go beyond the guys toting the ball now. Lee, to be fair, Leonard Fournette's out there and nobody wants him. So what does that tell you? I understand that part. But, Lee, I don't have to hold him to the standard of the Eagles. You saw some of the holes for DeAndre Swift. I mean, they were ridiculous. They were absurd. The guy went the first 10 yards without getting touched, Lee. Touched. That doesn't happen in Tampa, but I'm not going to hold them to the standard of the Eagles, who most likely have the most elite O-line. I just want them to be average in run blocking, and I don't think they are. Steve says there's holes there. White's not taking advantage. Well, go get somebody in there that's going to take advantage. Steve, this is a problem. And if it doesn't get fixed in New Orleans and you got a bye week, if I'm Jason Light, I'm looking to upgrade.
He should be, but, you know, what's out there? The Bucs aren't the only team in need of running back. That's number one. Number two, you know, they're tight under the salary cap. So I don't know what kind of wiggle room they have there as far as bringing a guy in. You know, a lot of people talk about Jonathan Taylor. Well, he's kind of expensive. That's why he's not playing for the Colts. I don't know if they can afford him. And, you know, they obviously passed on Cam Akers. So I don't know. You know, they're kind of in a pinch now. You know, it's kind of hard to upgrade a running game 4 weeks into the season. You know, they just played their third game. So not a whole bunch they could do unless they pry Snake Vaughn out of Todd Bowles' doghouse.
Look, the running game, it's got serious problems. They don't run wide very much. They gave Rashad White a wide run early, and he had room there. It was blocked up, and he decided to cut it inside for probably lost 4 yards that was out there for him on that run. He's just not very good, and the guy's made 12 starts, 12 NFL starts. We've seen guys get pulled for less than that. And so we'll see. Maybe he can turn it around a little bit. But the crazy thing is, when Rashad White catches the ball out of the backfield, he'll make guys miss. He'll stiff arm a guy to the ground. He's good, but not when he is a running back. It's just that simple. The crazy thing is, Ira, and it still bothers me a little bit, Kareem Hunt, he went back to the Browns. There was supposedly he was going to make all this money. $1.3 million is what he ended up with. And I think that's why you see Leonard Fournette on the sidelines, because he's made a lot of money in his career, just like Hunt, and he doesn't really want to gamble his health for a wrong spot that's not a lot of money, and he knows that someone's getting hurt at some point. So, he's still training, still talking about that. And what doesn't speak well for Rashad White is that you've got other running backs. The reason Fournette can't find a job is because you've got all these lower round running backs stepping up, having big days. You know, Zach Moss with the Colts, a third round pick, from a couple of years ago, and he has a huge day. And Matt Gay sets the all-time record with 450 plus yard field goals, and the Colts beat the Ravens. And other backs, lower round backs, are doing well. So I don't know, but they got to find a way to fix it, or they got to start passing the ball more, Ira. So let's go back to this game. You saw the Bucs, when they were down enough points and they went to the passing game, bang, 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 they are in the end zone. And earlier in the game, when Mike Evans dropped, people are saying he dropped it. The defender, if you look at the film or the replay, the defender's hand is in there. Maybe Evans could have gotten his hands out sooner and been stronger. He's made tougher catches, but the defender's hand is in there with his. But they moved the ball well on that drive, passing the ball as well. You know, maybe this is just a better passing offense right now, and they got to stick with that.
Steve, that play that you said, that you pointed out where the defender's hand was in there, was that a pass in the right corner of the end zone?
Yes, Steve? Sir. Yes.
I thought Evans was wide open, and I thought Mayfield blew that play by not throwing the ball earlier. He was late on that throw, late.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly a laser-tight strike there. It was a little soft of a throw. It was like a cross between a touch pass, and they just didn't connect. And that happens. I get it. It's not why they lost. I agree with you, Ira. A couple of probably should have caught balls by Mike Evans. And, of course, he had the one spectacular catch. As far as the rest of the offense goes, one thing that I wrote up, and I don't think it can be ignored, is all the other three receivers out there aren't doing anything. Combined, if you stretch out what they've done through three games, they won't match Russell Gage from last year, and he missed 4 games. They got to get more from these guys. One catch and a pass interference call from Cade Otton, and they don't have anybody else at tight end that they're willing to throw the ball to realistically. I'm concerned that this offense is going to, Evans and Godwin will get theirs, but that's what happened in 2014. With Evans and Vincent Jackson busting 1,000 yards each, and, they won 2 games.
Steve, you raised this very point during the summer more than once. turned out you were prescient. I wish you weren't prescient, but you were, where you said don't be dazzled by training camp numbers and how these guys looked and a couple of preseason games. They're unproven when the lights go on. Kate Otten's okay, Lee. He's okay. From what I see, he drops a pass every game. At least one. He drops.
Well, with the exception of Kalen Geiger, who didn't make the team, didn't make the practice squad, just with the exception of Kalen Geiger, no receiver slash tight end put the ball on the ground more than Kate Otten. I mean, it was to the point where I'm like, oh, I think the Bucs might have a problem here, was the entire training camp. So him dropping a pass in a game, I saw him do quite a bit of that in practice. You know, I hope he can turn it around, but he's doing in games what I've seen him do in practice.
Steve, let's not let Evans off the hook quite yet. He was coming off a spectacular game. He caught a touchdown in week one and then had a great game in week two. I thought he slept walk through the night for three quarters. And by the way, Steve, and I think you'll begrudge me this point, yeah, they passed themselves down the field to make it, 25-11. But, Lee, am I crazy to suggest that a team that's up 25-3 with 12 minutes left, they're going to soften their coverage? That's what they're going to do. And we got to remember that. And by the way, Steve, and I can't let this go, it was the number one point I made in my 10 takeaways from the game. And there were a lot of ways I could have went. This one was for DeKemper. I wrote this one for DeKemper. And I don't even know if he shared my sentiment after the game. But what I saw for most of the evening, and I understand there were injuries, and I understand Carlton Davis wasn't there. Lee, I've never seen cornerbacks give up that kind of cushion off the line of scrimmage. I mean, what is going on, Lee? Anytime Hurts wanted to throw an 8-yard pass, he's got it. Anytime, anywhere, I don't understand that. And the tackling was terrible. I mean, terrible. Didn't see the swarming to the ball, Steve. I didn't see it last night. On national TV, I expect that kind of effort, that kind of hustle. Nobody wanted to tackle A.J. Brown, Steve. What was going on over there?
Well, Zion McCollum was on the team radio network in the locker room talking about how they came out, didn't have the energy, and that basically he used other words, but he said that they were flat and just didn't have it. And then Baker Mayfield pretty much said the same thing at the podium, that it took him way too long to have the intensity they needed. I don't know how that happens. I really don't, considering who they were playing, when they were playing. And that part of this was just not excusable. You know, I said before the season, I know Lee was wondering exactly what I meant, and you got it a little bit, Ira, but this was a great example. I said, you know what, just keep playing hard football and play hard, and you know, and the fans will respect that, and that's almost good enough, because and it'll work itself out from there, even if you have a losing record. And last night was an opportunity for them to play 60 minutes of tough football, and they didn't show up, and I don't know why.
Steve's got a great point, and I think I could speak for a lot of fans. How frustrating is it to hear a professional athlete say, you know, you're playing on a big stage, Monday Night Football, national TV, big playoff team, you beat the Eagles, you know, a lot of the good things are going to happen, and you're just not into it.
That's inexplicable to me. Inexplicable. I don't get that.
You're a professional athlete. You know, you're supposed to be ready. You know, 98% of the people that listen to your podcast, Ira, when they go to work, their supervisor, their boss, they expect them to start busting tail the minute they walk in the door.
Steve, didn't Mayfield admit, and you know, basically, what's he going to do? Deny it? That the Eagles were the more physical team. Steve, he did say it. They lacked physicality. Like you said, that's not about talent, Steve. That's not talent. That's not skill. That's want to. They came up short in that category.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. I just pulled it up here, the exact quote from Zion McCollum. They, quote, caught us kind of lacking. And then he went on to say it was no fight, no fight at all. And so I wasn't sure if he meant the game turned out to be no fight or the Bucks had no fight in them. Either way, it's not a good sign. And, you know, hopefully they can, you know, snap out of that real quick, which I think they probably will. It happens to every team or most teams a few times a year, but it can't be happening at home, and it certainly can't be happening on Monday Night Football with a 2-0 record and an extra day off going into that game. Unfortunate. But Ira, I got to ask you for sage wisdom here, because I think this has been overlooked a lot. So Devin White, we saw him get the interception and then jog out of bounds because he couldn't go all out sprint. And, you know, he's obviously playing hurt. Now, he missed a few plays after that, I think one series, and then he came back and finished up, played the rest of the game. But nobody, even with the Bucs, acknowledged that, oh, you know, yeah, he did this on that play and trainers checked him out and he's okay or whatever. Nobody even said that he's okay. Nobody even tried to make an excuse as far as anything other than, you know what? Yeah, that's what we expected from Devin because he can't sprint, he can't run, and he ran out of bounds. So it's like a huge acknowledgement that he is really hurt and he's just going to fight through it and we'll see what happens. This is very bad news for the Bucs.
It's a strange situation, Lee. I mean, to be fair to Devin White, Lee, I think he's played well through 3 weeks. I got no problems with Devin White, and he's playing hurt. Lee, with the bye week looming, you know, look, the three of us are not physicians. We don't have a license except the license to kill, Lee. But, Lee, I might be tempted to sit Devin White on Sunday and give the guy 2 weeks to recover and have him ready when, you know, the Lions come to town. I think I would at least consider it. I don't think Britt's a terrible backup. We'll see. I mean, Britt can't do some of the things Devin White does, but if he's going to be a liability in some areas, you know, at least I got to think about it. But overall, I think Devin White has played well. Guys, I want to make one overarching point, which I think is important. You know, we've been picking apart the Bucs deficiencies, Steve, on this podcast. But we got to remember, and Lee mentioned it, the 2-1, if you don't let this thing snowball and you bounce back in New Orleans, you're in good shape. You're in good shape. The stretch in October is difficult. It's difficult. And then it eases. But at least a 3-1 record, Lee, gives you a little cushion. So lose it to the Eagles, Lee. We can't overreact. And I'll tell you why. Suppose you're a Cowboys fan. Well, you just lost to the Cardinals. Lee, you lost a game you should not lose. You should not lose. Mm-hmm. You know, the Texans just beat the Jaguars, right, Lee? I mean, you're not supposed to lose that game. You're not supposed to lose that game. Not a lot of people thought the Bucs were going to win. So let's not overreact to this Eagle loss.
Yeah, that's true. I just think that, you know, the fans are frustrated. I get it. That what they saw as deficiencies last year cropped up last night. You know, and it's right. Like, why didn't you fix this? And I get the Bucs were handcuffed. They only had so much money to go by. They, you know, basically had to get a quarterback off the Goodwill shelf. And so, you know, I sort of understand. But you're right, Ira, you're right. It's not doom and gloom. You know, they're 2-1. You know, a lot of teams, my gosh, the Vikings wish they were 2-1. Forget 0-3. And it's not a panic. The injury, it scares me. And if they lose this guy, I think they're in a world of hurt. Is Vita Vea is playing with a bad pec. And that thing gets torn, pretty good chance he's done for the year. So I think that's more of a gamble playing Vita Vea than it is Devin White. And I'm not trivializing White's injury, but you lose Vita Vea, that's really bad because he's the guy you base the whole defense on because he eats up so much space and so much contact inside. You lose him, that's bad.
Steve, Vita Vea was a monster in week two. I don't understand when this injury occurred.
I don't know. And we don't really know. Maybe it was a bruise. He could have gotten stepped on with the pec versus a muscle thing. We don't even know what it is. You know, my pet peeve with Vita Vea, Ira, that he doesn't play enough. Not his fault, but my pet peeveness, I put it away, but it came back, Ira, because somebody brought this up, and his name was Ali Marpet on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Now, he was there co-hosting on Tuesday, and he was talking about Vea, and he was basically saying, oh man, what he's doing out there, and it's so underappreciated how many snaps that he plays on at his size. And Ali Marpet goes on to say, you know, Haloti Ngata and Vince Wilfork, they weren't out there on third down like Vea is, and I'm sure that they didn't play anywhere near as many snaps as Vea and blah, blah, blah. Well, that got me to the old thing called the internet, Ira. And you know what?
I knew it would, Steve.
Big old Vince Wilfork in his prime and Haloti Ngata in his prime. These guys were playing 80% of the snaps Both of them have logged more snaps in a season than Vea ever has. You know what? Somehow, some way, with the Bucks, with all of those, maybe they could just get Vea his own trainer. Maybe get Tom Brady's guy in there for $1 million a year or something for 10 games. And he's really good. Get him on the field more often. There's got to be a way to figure that out, because even those big giant guys were playing more, and the Bucks desperately need him now. And, you know, he's a good football player.
The moral of that story is very simple, Lee. Don't play fast and loose with stats in front of Steve Isbitz. Otherwise, you're going to get caught, Lee. You're going to get caught. And I think that's marvelous on your part. Hey, Lee, one thing that's a fact, not an opinion, I want you guys to weigh in on whether it's significant or not. Now, I'm the same guy that said 2 weeks ago, a win's a win, and I don't care if you're playing the Bears, and, you know, the Bears are going to go 3-14. I don't care. I want the W. But the fact is, Lee, the fact is, the Bears and the Vikings haven't won a game between them. Does that enter the equation in trying to evaluate this team?
It should. Because that was a one-score game with the Bears in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I don't think you can go there, Ira. I don't know. I can't go there. I mean, teams change. Every 3-4 weeks, a team is a different team. You know what I mean? It happens every single year. I mean, that win in Minnesota was a very, very difficult spot. And they were prepared for it, and they came out and had a hell of a win. I don't care how you spin it. That was a hell of a win. And the Bears are probably better in week two than they're going to be in week 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15. So I think the Bucks, you could say at the end of this year, you'll be able to say the Bears got the Bucks got the Bears when they were at their best.
It's still the Bears, though, Steve. Still the Bears.
I understand, but we're trying to compare it to, you know, we're making comparisons here. I just think that when the rest of the division, the NFC South, gets the Bears, they're not going to look as good as they were in week two.
Now I'd like to turn to a guy that's been prominent on our podcast for all the wrong reasons. Lee especially likes to weigh in, and I don't mind when he does. Keith Armstrong, I don't know if he doesn't have the players, he doesn't have the guys that can cover, but this is a broken record, Lee. I'm tired of looking at it.
There's not much more I can add. The Bucks have had lousy special teams for years, and what's the common denominator? They bring in different players, they get rid of players, but they have the same special teams coach. So, you know, you tell me. It's like I mentioned to a guy the other night, you look over Rashad White's not bad, and you know, offensive line. I said, well, let's think about this. I said, Rashad White's had two very different coordinators. He's had two very different quarterbacks. He's had two different offensive lines.
That's
and
right.
The results are the same. You tell me what the common denominator is. Now, back to Armstrong, I mean, I expect the special teams to be lousy. You know, that's all I could say. I mean, you know, there's not much to say, really. I don't know what they had. I mean, we've gone over
ad nauseam. Lee, some guys are trying to say that Kamara outkicked his coverage. One of them was a line drive. The other one was a boomer. Well, what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to boom the ball. I mean,
that's a fair observation on face value. It's a fair observation. And Bowles addressed that, I think. Did he not? And he said that wasn't the case. Or Kamara addressed. Somebody addressed that last night. The answer was no, he wasn't outkicking his coverage. So that put that excuse to bed. But I'm more concerned between Shaq Barrett and Joe Tryon Shoyinka.
Yeah.
Between those guys, I don't know if you're aware of this now. Between those two, starting outside linebackers, take guess how many tackles they had amongst them, total.
Three.
Two. And they all came from Tryon.
Yeah, you know.
You cannot beat a good team, which the Eagles are, when you're starting outside linebackers combined for two tackles, and both guys are healthy, and both guys played the whole game. You just cannot do that. And I went off on Joe Tryon last night. There was a, you know, you hate to rip a guy for one play, but it was a microcosm of his entire career so far. Lane Johnson was playing patty cake with him, and my gosh, Jalen Hurts could have baked the cake. He had so much time to throw, and he throws a touchdown late in the first half. It was tipped, if I recall correctly. That was the touchdown to put the Eagles up for good. And I was just outraged that Tryon couldn't even get within 10 feet of Jalen Hurts. It was just, it was appalling. Absolutely appalling. And I know Lane Johnson's very good.
But he's very good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to give, you know, he's damn good. But he put, Lane Johnson put no effort at all in blocking him, and he completely took out Tryon. It's like, dude, what are you doing? I mean, I was just appalled by it. I'm still appalled by it. But back to my original question, Ira, when you're starting outside linebackers combined for two tackles, there's no way in hell your defense is going to have a good night.
Is it fair to suggest maybe, Steve, that Tryon was part of the spy package against Jalen Hurts, and he had maybe a different role last night? Do we need to address that, Steve?
No, we don't need to address it. He's just not that good. They're still rotating a lot of guys. I mean, nobody's playing the whole game. He's just not that good, and they're going to end up this year, I'm sure, just going with the hot hand, but they need someone to get hot. And, you know, Shaq Barrett wasn't as good as he's been previously, but you've got elite tackles out there as well. And the Eagles offensive line does that to a lot of teams. I just want to weigh in, Sage, because I'm not down on the Bucs special teams at all. I think they weren't that good last night, but you know what? They've had a couple of good games. It's been better than it's been in past years. The kicking is strong. So I'm not down on them at all. How about that for your Keith Armstrong swipe? I'm not down on them. And I'll say this, Sage, if you want to play the opponent's game, let's keep in mind that the Vikings received a punt from the Eagles with 10 seconds left in the game and a chance for a Hail Mary to win it in week two. So what does that say? So I just don't like playing those games. The Vikings are going to win their share of games this year. And, so I got to throw that out there for the Bucs fans. Nobody should be down. There's only three undefeated teams, like you were saying, Ira. And at 2-1, the Bucs are in perfect shape.
You're not wrong, Steve. That win against Minnesota went a long way in giving these guys confidence. And a loss to Philly, Lee, no matter how lopsided, and it was lopsided, I don't think that's going to shake Tampa Bay's confidence. Lee, one thing I'm concerned about, you tell me. I'm going back to number 13 for a second. I don't know. I'm a little troubled. Caught a touchdown in Minnesota. Played great against the Bears. Didn't show up for three quarters Monday night. And here comes Marshawn Lattimore. Lee, can we go into New Orleans and have Mike Evans catch seven balls for 128 yards? Can we see that? We don't see that. We just don't see it. And this Lattimore guy, Mike Evans, he's got to get over this.
Well, I'm under the theory that I don't expect it because history tells me otherwise. And Lattimore's good. But you know what? They do have a guy by the name of Chris Godwin. As much as I don't want Rashad White touching the ball as a running back, he's not bad as a receiver. Trey Palmer, he's a burner. So it's not like they don't have other options. If Mike Evans is tied up by Lattimore and they can't move the ball because of that, the problem's not Mike Evans. The problem is the offensive game plan.
You guys may not agree with me, but I didn't like what Canales did at the end of the first half. I didn't like it. Lee, here's what I mean. When Devin White intercepted that ball, there was time. You know, there was a minute left. It wasn't like they were backed up to their 10. I understand that. So Mayfield dropped back the pass, and he got buried for an 11-yard loss. Lee, now it's 2nd and 21. There's less than 40 seconds left. Go into half losing 10-3. Don't try to be a hero.
I said the same thing in the press box last night. I said the very same thing. I don't have access to look it up right now. But apparently if you did that, which is what I initially thought they should do, apparently the Eagles had all their timeouts.
I think they might have had two.
Well, okay.
I think.
I told me the Eagles would just call a couple timeouts. They would have got the ball back with about 20 seconds left or whatever, and they would have had a chance to score. So, you know, it was damned if you do, damned if you don't.
I don't like a 2nd and 21 call, Steve, when it wasn't necessary. I didn't think they needed to do that.
And that's, of course, when Rashad White fumbled. It cost them a field goal. The call I didn't like, Ira, was on the safety. You know, D. Delaney, it's 20-3, and he intercepts that ball, a tremendous interception right at the goal line. And the Bucks, you know, they're on the half yard line and they hand the ball to Rashad White up the gut and it's a safety. There are so many better calls in Canales's bag there. They had no receivers split out wide, no Chris Godwin in motion to even help block or to fake a who knows what. Nothing. And they do those wide receiver screens. They used to do them over and over and over again to get 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 yards to Evans or Godwin. And I just thought that was an awful call. I added it up, Ira. They had 2 negative runs and a no gain in 12 runs prior to that. And, you know, I don't like those odds, especially when you're showing run against an elite front. What do you think of that call?
I'm with you, Steve. And, you know, look, we don't want to be accused of, looking in the rearview mirror. It's easy to second guess Lee, but the way that play developed, I don't know whether it was called that way or whatever, but Lee, it looked like a slow-moving, developing play. It did. And it allowed, penetration by the Eagles, and, the guy had no chance. He had no chance. I'm with Steve on there. I'm throwing a 5-yard hitch to the outside to Godwin. I don't think they can stop it and give yourself some breathing room. Bad call, bad execution. Lee ultimately didn't decide the game, but another example of no physicality by the guys up front.
Yeah, it was sad. I'll just say that. It was sad.
It was one of those games, Ira, that we're trying to forget. And Jameis Winston, Sage, how much fun is this going to be with all those fans at Big Storm Brewery, Ybor City, hanging out with the Sage and soaking up all the great food, the Bromosa, all the great beers on tap, the Blood Brothers Bloody Marys. The specials are on JoeBucksFan.com now. Sage, Jameis makes this all the more sweet. However, he still has a hell of an arm, even though he has been awfully tentative since he got to New Orleans for the most part. But now it looks like Jamel Dean is shot and Carlton Davis's toe. Whatever it is, it's a serious problem. I mean, they are so thin back there now, Ira. That's part of the slack that you were looking at on the receivers there that you didn't like was because, look who they had out there, you know?
Steve, you bring up a strong point about this game. It's a concern. I'm not so worried about Cam Jordan because you can give Gedeki some protection there, some help. But Michael Thomas is back. He's not the old Michael Thomas who was probably the ultimate Buck killer. I've never seen anybody destroy the Bucks like Michael Thomas for about 2 or 3 years. Every game, 10 catches, 135 yards, a touchdown. Every freaking game against Michael Thomas. And Olave's good. He's good. He's good as a rookie, and he's only going to get better. Lee, I'm going to be at Big Storm in Ybor. You'll be in New Orleans. We will be raising a glass to Winston's mistakes as long as the Bucks are making him squirm. And by the way, I watched the entire fourth quarter of the Saints-Packers game, and Winston came in for Carr. The lead was slipping away. It was 17-0, and all of a sudden Green Bay's got all the momentum. And Green Bay would score, Lee, and the Saints would get the ball, and Winston wouldn't do anything. Punt, punt, punt. And then at the end, he did a 35-yard drive, and if they make the field goal, nobody's talking about a choke job by the Saints, but he missed it. And the fact remains, the Saints did very, very little under Jameis Winston. I don't care what his numbers are. They didn't score any points, Lee. Zero. And we shall see. It's very intriguing. There are guys on this team that were here when Winston played in 2019. He's going to say hello to Shaq Barrett. He's going to say hello to Vita Vea, Mike Evans, Godwin. He's got people. But when the game starts, Lee, I hope they bury him.
I hope they win, too.
Should be a fun one. Going back to Ali Marpet was talking about the matchup. And every time he mentioned Jameis, Ira, he just started laughing. And it was in the context of how crazy and serious Jameis is going to take this game. It's going to be like a Super Bowl for him. But look, I'll never forget this offseason when the schedule came out. Antoine Winfield did a podcast, and he had seen that Minnesota Vikings, his hometown team, His dad played for the Vikings, grew up a Vikings fan. They were number one on the schedule opening day. They asked him what game he had circled on the schedule, and he said the Saints. And he said, and I'm sure all my teammates do as well. These teams hate each other. It's a huge game. No matter how you cut it, Ira, this is a huge game for the Bucs. 3-1 gives them a little bit of cushion. It gives them tremendous confidence. They go into the bye week. Someone's going to get healthy after that bye week, and 2-2 is okay. Well, we sort of set that as an early goal, but man, how big, and we'll get out of here on this, Ira, and we'll remind everybody, BillCurryFord.com, shop there. Don't hesitate. You need a vehicle, a truck, whatever it is, BillCurryFord.com and Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Just check them out once, and then you'll always know they are there for you 24/7, trustworthy. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Ira, just a little perspective, your thought here. How huge is this game for the Bucs? It's obviously not a must win, but where does this thing stack up?
I think you're using the right word, Steve. I think it is huge. The Eagle game was not huge. I'm sorry. It wasn't. I don't care that it was on Monday night and, you know, everybody's watching. It wasn't a huge game. The only thing huge about it was Rondé Barber was getting his Hall of Fame ring. Not a lot of people thought the Bucs were going to beat the Eagles. I mean, realistic Buck fans. They're not as good. They're just not as good. Here comes two evenly matched teams with the Saints. I'm not overwhelmed by the Saints. I think they're okay. And the Bucs have a good chance to beat teams that are okay. Steve, your scenario is well said. 2-2 after a 2-0 start. In context, before the season starts, 2-2 at the bye week. Not bad. Well, now it would be 2-2 after a 2-0 start. That's different. And the Lions are no pushovers, Lee, out of the bye week. They're no pushovers. I don't care where the game is. They got weapons. And by the way, I've been thinking about this. I think if you drew up a list of the most underappreciated players in the NFL, the guy I'm about to mention, I think he's top five. Jared Goff, Lee, is a good quarterback. He's good. You know, they remember him from the Rams. By the way, they made the Super Bowl with him. They lost, but he made the Super Bowl. He's not a bum. And he's had a fresh start. So anyway, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but that Detroit game is going to be difficult. And I'd much rather go into it as 3-1. So I think Steve's right. In terms of psyche going into a bye week, this is a big one.
You know, Jared Goff is no better at quarterback than Levante David is at linebacker. And by the way, Levante David was all over the place. All over the place Monday night. Dude, like playing like that at 33? Wow.
Yeah. I think he had 13 tackles, right, Steve?
Very, very consistent. And the sack that he had was when Hurts slipped at the goal line there and sort of didn't want to take a chance after he slipped and didn't recover, but he played really well, and he stood out even more because Devin White is a step slow and having trouble getting off those blocks. Jared Goff, Sage, I don't know, he's made a few Pro Bowls. He's been in the Super Bowl. He took a bit of a ransom in a trade. I think he's pretty well appreciated.
We'll talk more about him after the bye week, but Steve, I think your point's right about the psychology of this game.
Lee, what do you think? How big do you think this game is for the Bucs?
I mean, is it a season breaker? No.
No.
I do think there's a chance if they lose to the Saints, it could snowball. Let's look at last year. They were 2-0. They wound up with Tom Brady having a losing season. Yeah, I know they made the playoffs. I don't think it's a make-or-break game, but it could snowball, you know. They'll have 2 weeks to marinate over it. Oh, my gosh, we lost. Here we go again. It happened just like last year. So I think has the potential of being devastating mentally if they lose.
We'll see how they bounce back after a setback, Steve.
All right, Sage, we know it'll be devastating mentally to you. That would be no tater tots on the menu at Big Storm Brewing Company on Sunday, Ybor City upstairs. But there's plenty for you to eat there, Ira. I promise you that. And we will talk to you later this week.
You got it.